This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Start the 4 o'clock hour here with Road to a Repeat. It seems like they're driving on the correct road because they've looked good for two games. Road to a Repeat is sponsored by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. Hockey fans, don't sit this one out. When it's game time, make Celsius a part of your play and get that energy up. Game day is fueled by Celsius, the official energy drink of the Florida Panthers. Panthers game tomorrow, 1 o'clock in Sunrise, Amerant Bank Arena. You can listen to the game. Doug Plagans will be on the call tomorrow with Billy Lindsay. You can listen to the game on 790 AM. 790 AM. Panthers, minus 140 favorites right now. Tampa is plus 120. Imagine for the series. Hold on a second here.
Hey, man. Bob was 19-19.
I mean, he was.
We got action, Jack. See.
Playoff series now. Panthers to win the series, minus 550. Tampa is plus 400. So, there you go.
Panthers plus 600 that I put in to win it all.
So another little note just for gambling purposes tonight. The Marlins are in Seattle. So it'll be a late start. But there is a home run prop for Matt Mervis. Now it's down to plus 375. And we've been getting it at plus 475 and plus 500. So it's down to plus 375. But as an Instagram follower notes to me on direct message, Matt Mervis, home run, tonight's Friday, it's Shabbat. Holy hell, this thing is flying out of that ballpark. You get a chance to bet Matt Mervis on Shabbat, you take that opportunity. So
I got him. He's going to Shabbat.
He's going to Shabbat. Oh, I love that. That dude is going to put that Shabbat to that ball and send it right out of that park.
You've been winning. I'll play with you tonight.
That's excellent. Let's do a quick 15 minutes of heat, Solana. You have a 15 minutes of heat back there?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Brought to you by our friends at Hollywood Kia. Get the start treatment right now at Hollywood Kia. We want to see you in a Hollywood Kia, number one Kia dealer in South Florida. Shop online, HollywoodKia.com.
Now guess what the line is for tomorrow? Heat and Cavs, first home game for the Heat, 1 o'clock game.
Cavs -6.5.
Alana?
Cavs -7.
Cavs -6.
Yeah. You know what I did see? Because I was in traveling all day. I was watching the Darius Garland stuff of him roasting Tyler Hero about his defense.
Tyler Hero had some comments back today.
What'd he say?
At their shoot around. I think I saw
practice.
Barry Jackson or Ira. Let's see.
Like his initial that Darius Garland, his initial answer was the truth, and then he got into basketball talk. How can you be this successful? Man, go at Tyler Hero. And don't dribble in tight spaces soft. And attack weaker defenders.
He's soft. Yeah, Ira Winderman. He wanted to call him out, Ira and then he backtracked.
Ira Winderman tweets out, Tyler Hero says he basically could care less about what Darius Garland had to say about his defense, says he has enough fuel for this series regardless. Tyler Hero on Darius Garland's pointed take on his defense, quote, and to go to the media to talk about game plans against a guy kind of says a lot about him. That's from Tyler Hero.
I like Tyler, but that's soft.
But I thought I saw someone write that he said Darius Garland doesn't play any defense.
I'm about to say, directly, purposely attacks you, and you say, oh, that's not cool to go and tell a game plan. No, he's talking about you, son.
Yeah, Hero ripped, this is from Barry Jackson. Hero rips Garland's defense, says he doesn't need any motivation from that guy.
Yeah, what he said, Hawk, was I heard him say, he said something along the lines of, like, somebody who doesn't play defense shouldn't be talking about defense.
Right.
Yeah. I've been killing verbal. Darius Garland all year long, so I'm not defending Darius Garland, but just
I love a verbal battle against two players who don't play defense. About who plays less defense.
I love a battle against two guys that have to actually go play here tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Yeah.
It's an easy take to have though if you're Darius Garland. Like, oh, the guy that dropped a 30-burger on us? Yeah, that guy doesn't play any defense. Like, well, what about you? You just dropped a 30-burger on you. You just have a better team, guy.
I'm telling you, I don't think Darius Garland is carrying any team anywhere, but yeah.
Well, what I'll tell you was, it was unfiltered. He got asked a question right after the game, and the filter wasn't on yet. And he's like, oh, yeah, we're going after Tyler. Like, and he wouldn't have said that 9 out of 10 times. He just got caught in a moment where he told you exactly what they were doing. I mean, there was no lie there. That's what they were doing, and he confirmed it. Like, we knew it after the game. We knew it during the game.
He's not breaking news. You can watch the game and see when they start picking and running those little picks. Yeah. No. Yeah. Okay, Tyler's on him. Now we got offense.
But I do think, Hawk, there's some chippiness going on in game two. The Heat turned up the physicality. The Cavs were a little annoyed with how that game got closer in the fourth quarter. So I saw Hero and Garland kind of exchanging words at times. And Hero had said something prior to game two when asked about how he was being picked on. He kind of lit the flame a little bit where he's like, yeah, I know what they're doing, but no big deal. Like, I'll be able to overcome it. Kind of like downplaying how good those guys were in game one. So to me, Darius Garland got up there, like you said, and he's like, yeah, we're picking on Tyler Hero. And then he kind of realized, like, uh-oh, that's headline material. Let me dial
right,
back
what
a little
did I just
bit.
Say? Yeah. Well, I got Tyler going for 40 tomorrow and also picking up his sixth foul in the third quarter, being very overzealous on defense.
I mean, what I like what Jim Larrañaga said, where now Bam needs to be more aggressive on those bigs. So I lost the Bam over. I think I'm going to ride with the Bam over again because Bam got to do something offensively. Even though, Solana, to your point, 9 assists, 14 rebounds, Bam is our all-star. But I want to see some more balls fall through that damn net.
Larrañaga said as well, though, if you look at 9 assists, if you go minimum 2 points on every one of those assists, he's accounting for 18 more points than the stats show. Now, you could also do a little reverse math on that too and say how many were genuine assists or how many times are you just passing a ball out and somebody doesn't take a dribble. And you know what I mean? Like sometimes there's an assist. Sometimes you get credited for an assist. So
I thought about it when Coach said it, because if he had 9 assists, how many passes did he make? Because if the guy misses it, it's not an assist. But I wasn't going to press Jim Larrañaga on anything because I don't know basketball as well as him.
But it's the double-edged sword of game one. Bam took a lot of shots, made a lot of points, had a lot of points, but the Heat got routed. Yeah, because the Heat took what the Cavs were giving them, and the Cavs just out-shoot you from three, so the math doesn't work. In game two, Bam has to take more threes. The Heat are committing to take more threes, as Coach L said, and he leads the team in screen assists. So even if he doesn't get the actual assists, he's actually the one setting the screen to open up the action offensively, which is why I hate, oh, Bam had 11 points. He sucks. Well, no, it's not painting the full picture of how important
right,
he is to the offense.
Right, but to pay a guy max money and say right, set screens right. is not
it's
exact.
Not sexy.
I mean, that's not how you earn your max contract.
I could be a $100 million screen setter. But no, Solana, no, something else too, Coach Jay was talking about. You said he's shooting threes, he's taking middies. You're not going to get Jared Allen or Mobley in foul trouble taking middies. Go at their chest and make them foul you. We've took less foul shots in both games back to back. We're not taking a lot of fouls because nobody's going in the paint.
Cleveland leads the series in rim attempts. So these are shots in the restricted area at the rim, 37-22. The Heat's rim frequency, so extrapolated over 100 possessions, as a team has been lower in these two games than the number 30 team in the regular season. So, yeah, there's a huge issue with them
to get in
getting
there with
to the
big
rim.
Fellas.
Yeah, yeah. It's a huge issue.
That's
for
the
sure.
thing. You turn that corner and look down the alley and see two big old dudes standing there, two big silhouettes, and you
I'm
say,
good
no,
out here.
I'll walk around. I walk around the block. I don't need to take this shortcut.
I actually like that long route, you know, that we take around the lake.
I'm telling you. You
John
see
Charania tweets out, Ja Morant will miss game four. He got injured last night. I think everyone saw it. Did you want to play a little sound for us? Solana was with Niko Jovic today.
It's not in the system right now. It's not in the system, so I can't play for you right now.
It's 4:15.
I know. I've just forgot to put it in the system.
And you're leaving at 5.
Yeah, I forgot to put it in the system.
You told me before the show started, when we get to 15 minutes of Heat, I'd like for you to play some of the sound that I got with Niko Jovic today.
Yeah, but I forgot to put it in the system.
Huh. He made a CD and was playing it in his bedroom this morning.
It's a short turnaround. Give me a break. The Heat players didn't come out till super late from practice. I got here, and we've been busy over here.
You told me at 1:30.
We've been busy back here.
It's 4:15. You're leaving in 45 minutes.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
Well, I got Whittingham coming up next. We won't get to it.
Tomorrow, 1:15 on preheat. 12:15, actually.
Did you spend a lot of time with him? How long?
A lot while.
All right. Fair enough. Let's get go. Excellent. Well played. It was all worth it just for that. Let's get headlines with Solana, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
Were you weird? Because you get weird when you like a player.
I might have hit him with a brother a couple times.
We've all shot air balls, brother.
Because I know you got a little weird on him.
I think 1 for 8 was just fine, brother. Don't listen to anything anybody's saying.
I do like that you owned up to it, though. I try to say that to my son all the time. He doesn't seem to gather that lesson. But you owned up to it. Hey, I didn't put it in the system. You didn't start that way. You started with it's not in the system. You started with not taking any ownership. But then you realized I'm not going to be able to worm my way out of this. So you said, I forgot. And then you said, I forgot. So you started with your normal shenanigans. It's not in the system, as if there was a system problem. And then you made a quick calculation. You went, I forgot to put it in, which I am just delighted with.
You're raising them upright.
I feel like you've earned your allowance.
My deep feeling was really to just throw Jimmy under the bus somehow. Like my intuition was to throw somebody under the bus.
Yeah, I figured engineering was going to get thrown under the bus or someone. I appreciate you being honest.
Yeah. Did you see the comments Bam had about, and you know, the media scrum love this, obviously, about the Heat having the worst home record in the playoffs for the last 4 years? And he was asked about like fans showing up to games late. And he's like, bro, people don't realize how nasty the South Florida traffic is. So who cares if they're not in their seats at tip off tomorrow because it's an early start.
And it's going to be empty at 1 o'clock. I'm telling you right now, if you want to take pictures at 1 o'clock, look, it's 1 o'clock. I mean, You know, we got to stop at Jackson's, get an ice cream. This is what we do in South Florida. Well, I'll get there by 1:30.
Is a pig's booty pork? First quarter is going to be empty in Miami forever.
Going to be empty. Fourth quarter will be packed.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the Cavs are blowing them out again. It might start to empty out a little bit early as well.
Go across to the Sushi Saki across the road. It's a nice restaurant. That's where I go when you're getting beat.
I'll see a Dick Clark's American Bandstand at Bayside. Still open? Last time I was there was 89.
Solana watched that concert from there. He was on the other side of the world.
By the way, to answer your question, I love pork butt.
It's another saying that's a little more vulgar, but it's a pig's booty pork. It's like, and you're going to say yes, it's almost yeah.
Somebody texts in, slush puppies are at the Shell station on 104th and Kendall, across from Miami-Dade College.
That's where I get gas.
Slush puppies are good. This is it's bigger ice chunks.
Right.
I think they come in those packets, though, right? You shake them up or whatever. The slush puppy. I think I recall seeing them.
What are you talking about? It's a Slurpee.
Okay, I thought it came in like a packet.
I think you're talking about Icy. Icy has that.
No, Icy, no. Icy's do have frozen Icy's in the grocery store. You can get a frozen Icy at Publix or whatever. But that's not what we're talking about.
I was just asking a question, Hawk.
No, you weren't asking a question.
But now they're just popsicles.
Do you understand the conversation we're having? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? That's from Rush Hour, so long.
Yeah.
We should give that to DBJ. That'd be funny if he turns to Joe.
Write that one down.
Says
that
it overzealously hilarious. Like Chris Tucker so that Joe gets angry. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Yes, I did.
Thought I responded, DBJ.
One thing I had written down here regarding the draft yesterday, of course, the Miami Dolphins select Kenneth Grant, defensive tackle from Michigan. Does Roger Goodell always, and I'm not talking just with the first couple picks, I'm talking about with everybody that came up in the first round, does he always have that personal relationship with all the selections where he's dapping these guys up, hugging them? Yeah. There was somebody yesterday, and I forgot to write down who it was, but it was like pick number 11, where he had a handshake with the guy, like a personal handshake with the guy. Is that common every year, or was that something new this year?
He does it, but he's a Key and Peele skit, though. The black dudes, what it is, baby, skibbity bibbity, big dog. And then the white dudes come out, and he shakes their hand, you know, respectfully. I watch him all the time.
I was watching last night. We were at a bar, so there was no sound on the draft because there was sound on the Panthers. Why were they all riding bikes around the stage at the beginning?
Because in Green Bay, they have this thing where at training camp, the players ride bikes, and then they give the bikes away to underprivileged kids.
Ah, okay.
So it's a thing in Green Bay where the practice field's away from the locker room. So the players ride bikes to the state.
I didn't understand what was going on. I couldn't figure out why everybody was out there riding bikes.
It's like a nonprofit thing they do. So they wanted to embrace the Green Bay culture.
All right.
I asked the same question. That's why I can answer this question. I'm like, get your dumb ass off the bike, Roger Goodell. Goofball.
The Dolphins.
What it is, Cam? Hello, Jackson. How are you doing?
Jackson, good to see you.
I'm telling you, it's a Key and Peele skit,
bro. I was just taken aback because, you know, I'm sure he meets with all these guys and they do media and he knows them, and I'm sure he's happy for them, right? They're going to make him a lot of money. Great. This guy, like, he's got a damn handshake with players. Like, since when are these players all tight with Roger Goodell? Like, rookies. I don't know.
When he calls your name, you're an instant millionaire.
Yeah.
When I hear that fella up there call my name, I'm an instant millionaire. A lot of these guys are millionaires anyway because of NIL, but yeah, you understand what I'm saying. Yeah.
And I don't know if they show it on TV as much as live, but there was 250,000 people out there. People boo the hell out of Roger Goodell.
Yeah, and he loves it. He tells them more. That's become sport at the draft.
When he opens the draft, it's a big boo. But pick 30, he walks out that door and they're still booing. I'm like, y'all don't get tired of booing this man for four hours.
Still shocking to me how many fans go out to the draft of opposing teams. I get it. If it's in Green Bay, you're a Packer fan and whatever. Yeah. You want to go there. But like the amount of fan bases out there is insane.
It is remarkable. And I understand if it's in Vegas, if it's in New York, you know. But Green Bay, like flying in with your buddies to Green Bay to hear him call your team's name, like, wow.
They said that the cutoff is what I heard, because some people at the house we were at tried to go and walk through, because they, you know, they do it up, food trucks, and they have stuff for the kids to do and all that. They stopped letting people in at 250,000, and it was to capacity. Wow. They turned people around. 75% were Green Bay Packers fans.
Amazing.
Yeah. 3 out of every 4 people were Green Bay Packers fans, and after they took that receiver, whoever they drafted, they poured out of there. They stayed until Green Bay's pick, and then 100,000 people left.
All right, guys. Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. It is partly cloudy in South Florida. It's in the 80s right now. Tonight, the lows will be in the 70s. That is your weather.
All right, we're going to talk with Chris Whittingham next. We talk a little messy with him. Inter Miami played last night. I want to ask Whitty, too. All listeners, do your research. Adam Schefter had a fit on last night. It was shirt and tie with a hoodie over it and then a blazer over the hoodie. Now, people wear the blazer over the hoodie. That's a common look. Nobody has ever worn a shirt and tie with a hoodie and then a blazer. It was almost like he didn't want to pick a side. Because who's that guy, the big bald white guy on Amazon? You've had him on.
Whitworth.
Dude wears jacket and hoodie, sport jacket and hoodie every broadcast.
Yeah.
But Schefter had a unique look last night, and he was getting dunked on social media. Whittingham, though, is as dapper a dresser as anyone I know. And so I want to ask him, why are you making a face on that, Solana? You don't think so?
I forgot we're on video. No, I agree 100%. Yeah, Whitty's a true fine
gentleman. You think
he's
a dapper dresser? I think he's a very dapper dresser.
I think he dresses very well. But like the most dapper dresser you know, he goes to Zada like the rest of us, or Express. He gets a nice tailored suit. And
when you say the rest of us,
yeah,
like you?
Zada.
Express. Zada, you can get suits there. You get them tailored; they look very nice on you. You get a button down. You
Zara? Get a,
yeah, Zada.
Zada, why do you say it like that? Why
did you say Zada?
You know, it's a Spanish brand. Zada.
Zara.
Zara.
Okay, Zada. I call it Zada. You call it Zara. What's the difference?
Okay. And do you dress better than Whitty?
I'm not saying I dress better than Whitty. Don't
you just
turn
said
this.
Us. You just said us.
I'm just saying that to say, and this isn't an indictment on Whitty. I don't understand why you're turning it into that. To call him
the most
dapper.
He did his segment with us last week. He did a segment with us wearing a sport coat for no one other than us. He was home.
He looks great.
He put on a sport coat.
He dresses great. I think he dresses phenomenal.
That's exactly what I said when you rolled your eyes.
I just think calling him the most dapper dresser you know was a bit much. For my liking, but.
Well, you don't know who I know. I mean, have you seen Joseph out? The guy's a slob.
Who's on your list, Solana?
Ah, Tommy Tighe. No, but like I saw Donovan Campbell today. I asked him if
Tommy Dyg has never seen an iron except when playing Monopoly. Sorry, Tommy, but that
what a cheap shot, man.
Hey, just throw it in the dryer. Just throw it in the dryer for a couple minutes.
Bro.
It's a tox. Just throw it in the dryer.
Throw it in the dryer for a couple.
Donovan Campbell, I asked him today if he'd let me borrow one of his white suits.
But he's not your friend.
He doesn't like you.
Like, I'm telling you, when I said he's like the most dapper dress friend that I have.
Well,
I
wasn't talking about Donovan. He didn't say friend.
Yeah. I'm not so certain. All right, anyway. Chris Whittingham is going to join us in the next segment.
Unfortunately, this is the Hawk and Crowder show.
Shalat Shalom.
Hawk and Crowder.
All right, Chris Whittingham is going to join us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He joins us on, I shouldn't say on a certain day, because it seems to be a rapidly evolving situation where he joins us on different days. I know that we still have 4 Marlins tickets to give away. It's our final day. We're going to do that at some point before 6 o'clock. 4 tickets, Marlins, A's, Lone Depot Park on May the 4th. That is Star Wars Day at Lone Depot Park. May the 4th be with you. So we will give away those tickets before long. Chris Whittingham is a soccer broadcaster for CBS and MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. Chris will be on the call for the Barcelona-Inter Milan match in the Champions League semifinals next Wednesday on CBS. I believe that takes place during our show, which means we have a live betting opportunity. Solana on the show, which is always fun. And Inter Miami is back in action in MLS on Sunday, 5 p.m. They host FC Dallas at Chase Stadium. That match will be live on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. Chris Whittingham is joining us now. He's a very dapper dresser. I'm going to get into that in a second. Okay. I want to wait till Crowder reconnects because we're having a connectivity issue. So I'll get into that in a second. First, tell us about Inter Miami last night. They lost 2-0 to Vancouver. I didn't see any of the match. So what happened there? And then they play again this coming week, next week.
Yes, next Wednesday in the second leg of the CONCACAF Champions Cup. 2-0 down now. Hawk, we went to the quarterfinal when they played LAFC. They were 1-0 down after the first leg, and they didn't have that away goal. So they gave away the away goal. They needed to score 3. If a similar situation happens in this next game with Vancouver, Miami would need to score 4 to overcome the away goal's tiebreaker. So,
oh, is that so?
Yeah, yeah. So it's the same tiebreaker in effect. And Miami did not put in a very good performance last night.
Win by 4 or just score 4?
Win by 4. So if Vancouver, well, I guess it would be win by 3, right?
Score four,
win by 3. Because,
but in other words, what if they win 4-2?
If they win 4-2, then they will be eliminated because Vancouver will have scored 2 away goals.
So it's not just score 4. It's
score 4 and concede 1 or fewer. So it is a complicated situation, but the fact of the matter is
a little
that
math going on here, Crowder. I see you looking confused, and I've been listening, and I'm confused. And you just joined us. And you're confused,
this is win,
this is how soccer works. This is how soccer works.
So you just don't win and lose. You have to
aggregate. Yes, you aggregate over 2 legs, and then you combine the scores of the 2 games.
Only during this tournament, or during certain tournaments, not for MLS season. This is just the CONCACAF we're talking about.
Right. So over 2 legs, you play 2 games, and then you combine the scores. And if it's tied, the team that goes through is the team that scored more away goals. If they score the same number of away goals, then we go to extra time and potentially penalties. So
next Wednesday for Inter Miami Vancouver, if Miami wins 4-2, I imagine a whole bunch of people are going to leave Chase Stadium feeling great because they just won, but they're not going to know that they actually are not advancing.
I hope that education will have grown a little bit from the last time, because Hawk, you and I were there last time. I'm not certain the entire crowd felt it, but I wonder if, because the comeback effort was on and they were pushing for that third and celebrating as if they had won the thing when they scored that third goal, I hope that the people that are attending, which, by the way, they did a different process for selling tickets for this game. They afforded the chance of all the season ticket holders to opt in or opt out. So presumably we'll have more season ticket holders there than were there last time. But I would hope that that information has gotten around. But either way, it was not a very good performance. If you're looking at Miami in these last few games, having a hard time scoring goals, which is weird because they have Lionel Messi. They have Luis Suarez. They have a lot of really talented players, but it's not coming together. They didn't score against Vancouver in this first leg. They scored one at the weekend against Columbus, 0-0 against Chicago, 1-1 against Toronto, one of the worst teams in the league, and they didn't score in the first leg away at LA either. There are a few players that aren't really getting in the goals right now, and that's an area of concern.
Interesting. So why does that happen?
Well, I think there is kind of a little bit of a Miami's system is being figured out a little bit where they've been playing in this 4-4-2 for several weeks now. We kind of know what it looks like. And I think right now a lot of teams are placing the emphasis on the non-Messi and Suarez players to go and beat them. Because we saw last night in particular, Suarez was in moments where he's surrounded by four defenders. He hasn't scored since early March, I want to say. It's been six or seven games since he scored a goal, which is definitely a concern for Inter Miami. And obviously with Messi, I think he's playing a little bit further away from goal. And anytime he gets close, again, he's surrounded by four. It's incumbent upon some of the new players that have come in, Allende and Segovia. It's incumbent on a lot of players to kind of step up and provide a different level of creativity so that all that emphasis can't be placed on those two players and you kind of snuff Miami out. But that's the situation right now, is those guys aren't able to perform at their highest level because they're just being drowned out of games.
But Chris, it almost reminds me of basketball. Like we were talking about Donovan Mitchell in the fourth quarter of the Heat game. We're like, he's going to create his own shot. He's going to get it off. In soccer, what does Messi and Suarez do when they're getting drowned out? Do they have to find the pass or whatever? Because, hell, you're the highest paid. You're the team star. Go win these damn games.
Get open.
Right. And I think the biggest thing that Messi does in particular is he passes his way out of the trouble. I think last night, his passing was a little bit off. They were playing on artificial turf in Vancouver. They play in an indoor stadium that is usually the home of the CFL team. There are 53,000 people there, but it's on turf. And you actually saw him and Busquets, two of the greatest passers that we've ever seen in the history of the game, struggling to connect passes because they didn't know how to hit the ball. They've been used to playing on grass their entire life, and they would hit these passes that would go rolling away. And I was like, I've never seen Messi do that in my entire life. That was sort of the one-off situation. I think the bigger situation is Messi is a gravitational force. You kind of see, I would compare it to Steph Curry in basketball, where whenever Steph Curry's on the floor, there is all of these people that are moving around him, and there's all this, Curry, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? And I think with Messi, it's kind of a very similar idea, but he opens up space for other people. It's on the other people to take advantage of that space and to create opportunities for themselves to convert the chances that they do get in games. But yeah, sometimes I think we saw it, Hawk, in the LAFC game in the quarterfinal. There are also moments where Messi just kind of goes, bleep it, it's on me. And he will just go running at teams. And I imagine we will see a similar performance. I wouldn't be shocked if he was rested on Sunday, maybe comes on as a sub for the last half hour of the game. But all emphasis is going to be on this Vancouver game on Wednesday. So with only 72 hours between the games, I imagine they're going to really put everything on Wednesday, maybe even rest him so that he can deliver one of those kinds of performances.
Aside from those moments of brilliance, though, where it's a bleep it, I am going to take a shot from outside the 18-yard, put it in the upper 90, and we're going to score that way. Aside from that, Witty, you mentioned the 4-4-2. It just doesn't seem to make sense. Busquets is playing back. You don't really necessarily want him to push forward because you want him to be like your number five. So it's Redondo's job to create for Messi. And to your point, when he doesn't, Messi has to come back to get the ball. And now Suarez is up there with no knees and can't outrun anybody. So like, is the answer on the roster right now? And that is not my way of asking you, is De Bruyne coming to save Inter Miami down the line? I'm saying, is there an answer on the roster right now? Because like, I don't know. Is it Fafa?
Sounds like you're blaming Redondo.
No, because then Benha comes in and go save us. Everybody's
just wanted to
tired.
Say Redondo.
Redondo. It's a fun name to say. It's a fun name to say.
You said after you said that.
But I do, to answer your question, Solana, I do think that in some ways the answers were here last season. They scored 79 goals last season with largely a very similar team. So it is incumbent on Federico Redondo and Busquets and Yannick Bright when he comes into games to kind of get the ball to Messi in the positions where he can thrive, and it's not incumbent upon him to come all the way running back to the halfway line. You also have to give a lot of credit to Vancouver, who have started the season incredibly well. They're kind of the shock story of MLS this season because they're not one of MLS's best teams traditionally. they went into the season up for sale. There's an ownership change. There's a question about whether or not they're going to keep playing at their stadium. There's a question about whether or not they might be relocated as a franchise and go move somewhere else. And then a new coach comes in and has completely turned things around. Normally, when teams go on deep runs in CONCACAF, you suffer in the league. But Vancouver is doing both, as Miami is doing both right now. Vancouver have been absolutely brilliant, and they just have a team of runners and a team of workers that made life incredibly difficult for them last night. I think on that artificial turf, it was tough as well. But I think we're talking about a lot of pieces that need to step up, and it is kind of both the blessing and the curse. The blessing is you get to play with Messi. The curse is when things go wrong, people blame you. And so I think when you look at the young players that are in the team, Redondo in the middle, Allende and Segovia out wide, they started the season incredibly well, but they haven't kicked on from there. They haven't continued to deliver that high level of performance. They're young players. It's going to happen, but that's the pressure that's upon you when you're playing in Inter Miami, because no one's going to blame Messi if things go wrong. People are going to blame you.
How are our tickets for Wednesday night?
Really good.
Okay.
Really good. Very similar from the LAFC game. We're kind of near the halfway line. I think so. I think we got the Scran. I think so.
Oh, I mean, we're in for a great night. Got the Scran, man. It's all about getting the Scran. Whittingham, not evidenced by today because he's wearing a t-shirt, but Whittingham is the most dapper friend I have, and maybe the most dapper broadcaster in the game. I mean, the guy can put together a fit. Again, yes. Not evidenced by today so much, but normally. But I wanted your opinion. Last night, Adam Schefter was getting dunked on ESPN because he was wearing shirt and tie, but then a hoodie over it with the shirt and the tie not visible, and then a sport coat over the hoodie. And I was saying to Crowder and Solana, we've seen the hoodie and the sport coat look before. Andrew Whitworth on Amazon Thursday Night Football wears it often. But no one's ever rocked the tie with the button down, then the hoodie, and then the sport coat. And I'm curious what your thoughts were.
I appreciated the attempt. I like this notion that we're moving towards bringing different kinds of clothes into formal wear. Normally, you couldn't wear a hoodie with a suit, thanks to our Lord and Savior Andrew Whitworth, as you mentioned, he has brought that into the. Now everyone can do that because he has paved the way for all of us to be on television wearing hoodies. At a certain point, people brought wearing sneakers on television when it was kind of taboo for you to wear sneakers on television. I also think we're kind of seeing a movement more towards smart casual than shirts and ties. You don't really see ties very often other than these kind of very formal events like the NFL draft. You put on an episode of Get Up and you don't see everyone on the set wearing a tie. You don't see Michael Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser wearing a tie every day on PTI. And so there has definitely been a move towards casualness. I just don't think the hoodie is its own look. I don't think you can pair the hoodie with other things. I like the hoodie with a suit. I think with the shirt and tie underneath it, I like the attempt. I'm not sure that it came off from Adam Schefter. I know a lot of people were having a go at him, but I appreciate any form of daring in this regard. Take the chance. Take the swing. I enjoyed it.
And Woody, we were talking about retiring numbers earlier, and Hawk went down a path of then people will steal names. How do you feel about
Chopper? Well, we were talking about unretiring numbers.
Unretiring
numbers.
Warren
Moon is allowing one to be unretired for Cam Ward.
How would you feel about Chop Robinson legally changing his name to Jason Taylor or Tua Tagovailoa legally changing his name to Dan Marino?
Because I think that's the path we're headed down.
I agree. I think this is a real slippery slope here. Yeah. I don't agree with
slippery slope.
I don't agree with unretiring numbers. You retired the number.
You retired it.
Warren Moon's going to be like, no, it's retired. And frankly, it shouldn't even be in Warren Moon's hands.
But he came out to unretire it. Warren Moon came out to unretire it to Cam Ward.
But the Tennessee Titans organization should be preserved. Well, I guess in a way, it's not really their history. It's the Houston Oilers' history. Yeah. Right. Maybe that's why it's a little bit tenuous. But I do think that he should not be allowed to wear the number one, but wear number 11, wear another number, pick another number, but sorry, one in the history of that franchise is gone. And maybe as a means of branding, maybe you say, you know what? Your defensive end comes into the Dolphins. I'm going to be Jason Taylor because that elicits good
branding
from the fans.
Good branding.
Good branding.
Yeah. It's a number. Your name is who you are.
But then why retire the number in the first place? Why retire the number in the first place?
I'm with you 100%. I'm with the Jackie Robinson thing was a historic, you know, integration of sport. I understand 42. The rest of retired numbers makes no sense to me.
I also, having been to Yankee Stadium a few times and seeing all the numbers, you just sort of wonder what's left. They've retired too many numbers. It's like you can wear number 63 or number 79, but that's about all you have left. So,
well, decimals.
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 1.7.
Fractions, 7. Maybe? Maybe fractions?
Yeah. I mean, seven, really seven and three numbers.
Seven and three fourths.
There's limitless numbers.
What if baseball moved to 3-digit numbers to accommodate the Yankees?
You might have to. What do you think from a fashion perspective? You said you like taking chances. And what do you think of this particular quarter zip from L.L. Bean?
Horizontal stripes generally tend to be clothes that aren't slimming. They kind of are revealing. But I appreciate that. In a very warm city, you dress as if it were cold.
Yes,
you're always in sweaters.
As you get old, you get cold.
But when you go outside, it's hot. Like you have to be sweat. You have to be sweating in there.
Always. I had lunch outside today. Had my avocado toast and a cappuccino while wearing my quarter zip sweatshirt.
That seems impossibly hot.
Wait till you see what I wear Wednesday night.
What is that? What does that imply? Are you going for something? Are you showing up parka? Showing up parka?
Warm coat. Yeah,
that seems ridiculous.
Wait, doesn't that LL Bean sweatshirt look like a avocado toast outfit?
It does. It looks very snooty. If I'm being honest,
this is a guy who would order avocado toast. Absolutely. What do you think about this though? Under a sport coat?
No, it doesn't work. Doesn't work. Right. I'm actually sort of in the market. I did a lot of investigating. I was on GQ's website today looking for kind of casual formal wear. It's a very difficult thread to needle because you're trying to look for things that can, but
it's actually sometimes thread.
Needle to thread,
You can't needle a thread.
It's hard to put the little string through the hole in the needle.
Yeah. So you needle the thread.
Right.
Yeah.
No, okay.
Thread the needle. What did I say? Did I say needle the thread?
You said needle the thread.
Oh, my apologies. It's a difficult one to thread that particular needle.
Okay, because Solana is literally packing up his bag to try to end this segment. What game are you going to call, Solana? Let's promote you.
FIU softball versus the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers.
And where can we watch you or listen to you tonight?
Little conference play, a little CUSA play, FIU coming off a rough one on ESPN Plus tonight.
There you go. Well, look at that. A couple of broadcasters just chopping it up there at the end of the segment. Love that.
And I'm going to be all late right, Chris because Whittingham. You asked about threading the needle.
Whittingham will be on the call on Wednesday, right? Next Wednesday?
Yep. CBS, Inter Milan against Barcelona, first leg, Champions League.
And Inter Miami, again, back in action in MLS this Sunday, 5 p.m. They host FC Dallas. That's at Chase Stadium. That match is live on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. All right, Witty, have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. Solana, you have a great weekend as well. I know you've got to get out of here. Go do your thing. Dan Day will take over for you for the final hour, and we'll have the time of our lives.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
My left testicle, I'm going to name him Solana.
Hawk and Crowder.